AFND presents Mercs and Monsters is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details.
Last we left off, Ash had taken a contract, his first contract, to escort Jimmy the Quick Flex alien across the Mississippi and back to his home in Orisol. Along the way, Ash and his escort were attacked by bandits, pirates, and Ash made a new friend named Kimmel. Ash and co. stopped at a harbor to rest for the night, only to have Jimmy be attacked by a Deevil. Ash, being a Psystalker, sniffed the creature out in time and intervened before Jimmy was badly hurt or killed. And that's where we are now.
Today we have with us Nicole.
Hi everybody, I'll be playing Ash, the Psystalker.
And we have our special guest, Zach.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach, and I play Dandy. Oh, wait a minute, I'm Jack! Jack! The Jack!
And that's where we are now. Where we are now. I can word. You guys just cured the luck curse on, what's your boy's name? Jimmy, the Quick Flesh Alien. Your charge. Ted, the Leyline Walker, cured it, and you mean mugged him a bunch. Kimmel made a bunch of noise entering the room. And everything is good and fine and dandy and happy and nice, go lucky. Jimmy's going to try to go back to sleep, and Kimmel needs to go rest because his arm's all destroyed because he got fucked up during the fight with the Harpoon Pirates.
Okay.
So what are you doing?
At this point, has Ash already, checked the perimeter and made sure everything...
This would be right after Jimmy was cured.
Okay.
So then you'd go do that perimeter check?
Yes.
I think the last episode you said that you were going to go check the area, too, when we're ending out the episode.
Okay. Then, yes, I still want to do that.
Okay. So roll me a... There's a perception check in Rifts, right?
Yes.
Roll me a perception check. I think in Rifts... That was the check, almost nobody has a bonus to, right?
It's very rare to have a bonus to.
Yeah.
What am I rolling for a perception check?
It's just a d20 plus...
Whatever bonuses you have.
Yeah, which it might be negligible. You might not have any bonuses for perception.
17.
You barely get to be a hero. It seems calm now. There's a lot of hubbub. You do notice that the guards for this harbor... They are up in arms. They do have their wits about them, and they're walking the perimeter. And if they weren't,
they don't seem completely incompetent.
No, and if they were before, they're not now.
Because they heard about the pirate incident,
the demon incident.
Actually, that came right up to their doorstep, didn't it?
No, that was ways down the Mississippi.
Oh.
No, they're on the lookout for the demon. Because the demon was in their harbor.
Oh, I
see. You fought it in the harbor. Because it's two floors, and it's like a tavern. So not only can you come and dock your boat, but you can stay there for the night, too.
Right.
So on down in the downstairs, there is a a bar and everything. And that's when you confronted the demon, or the Deevil.
I remember, because when I got into port, I did a sniff for psychic energy. And that's how I sniffed him out.
Yeah, you sniffed out a couple of sources.
Yeah, one was the Leyline Walker.
Yes.
And one was the demon.
And then there was also Ador, the Grackletooth.
Oh, so okay.
When you first left...
Yeah, the big beefy boy.
Yeah, his brother Denacha was in the first harbor when you first got onto the river.
Okay. And those were the only sources?
Yeah. And that hasn't changed. You don't smell or see any new sources as of yet.
Okay. Well, then I feel fairly confident with taking a rest.
Okay.
So I'll rent a room or a bed or however that works here.
Yeah, I think you paid for it in the last episode. It's
we'll go with that.
No, it's on the house. That's right.
Oh, for the demon?
Yeah. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Come on.
No, I just remember, because I did listen to the last episode recently. So it wasn't, but Jimmy was paying for it all.
Oh,
this is Jimmy's venture.
Right,
so
right.
So you're not paying for any of it. Jimmy has to take care of it. It's out of his pocket. So okay. They're charging Jimmy regardless.
Okay.
But they cured the luck curse without charge. That's what it was on the house. Because that's not a small feat to remove a curse. So yeah, you can rest. You'll get your ISP back, what little you spent. And night comes and goes. And morning time comes.
What did you say about SDC? It's one per hour? No, one per rest? What? How does that work?
Yeah, so a full night's rest after a day, you'll get 1 point back.
Okay.
And if you're getting medical treatment, it'll be a lot more than that.
Well, I'm down 8.
Well, you get 1 back.
Okay.
You will be up before most of the occupants, aside from the people that are being paid right now, just because this is what you do. Kimmel will still be asleep. It looks like he was drinking heavily. After you barked at him and yelled at him to be quiet while Jimmy was getting cured, he went and got a drink. And he's all fucked up and his arm's, you know, destroyed. And he needs medical attention anyway, so he just drank himself until he was asleep.
Well, then he's not going to get to sleep much longer if I'm kicking his ass awake.
So he's in his own room. You're going to go banging on the door?
Yeah.
Okay.
After I do my morning routine and it's an hour to start, you know, I'll give him maybe an hour or so before I go banging on his door.
Okay. An hour or so goes. He doesn't wake up. You go up to the door. There's no reply.
Harder.
There's no reply.
Kimmel, get your ass up.
Do you have like an intimidation skill or something? Anything along those lines?
I mean, I'm pretty sure I have a horror factor for most regular humans.
He's used to you now, though. That's on the first meeting.
Yeah. Intimidation.
What's your MA at?
15.
I think 16 you start getting that.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Invoke, trust, or intimidate. I don't have anything listed there.
You don't have any skills, though?
I don't believe that they had a skill for...
There's a lot of different interpersonal skills, so something along those lines.
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Well, let's roll then. See what dice gods say. You hear shuffling and muffling, and then you hear footsteps coming to the door, and the door cracks open a little bit, and you see him all blurry eyed, and like, ah,
suit up.
Okay, yeah, all right. And he closes the door, and you hear footsteps shuffling away.
Okay, I'm fine with that for now.
Okay.
I was going to laugh if you heard him go back into bed.
heard the covers go over.
No, that won't happen.
Kimmel knows.
Ash blew up his entire party previous to this. So.
I'm aware. I listened to it.
So you go downstairs. I'm assuming you do another security check, right? You're on duty, so you go check the rest of Jimmy's patrol. And
yeah, check the boat, check the crew.
Okay, so you go out there, you see the crew, and they're all kind of like up and mingling and like eating breakfast and having some coffee, and everyone's kind of just doing a normal daily routine. No one is like as up and ready to go as you are. Even Adore, is it Adore or Adore? I think it's Adore. It's Adore now. Even Adore, he's up, but he's very like laid back. He's like smoking another cigar. He basically breathes cigars. And she's just kind of lounging around, seeing, you know, just watching everybody mill about and do their thing. You do see, though, and you heard before as you're doing your rounds, somebody mentioned that there's a boat coming in. And you see this small boat that's in the process of sinking as it's floating up. And it does have a mast. And at the top of the mast is a humanoid that's standing there riding the mast. And it comes completely sinking.
Are we Captain Jacking it?
Yeah,
right now?
Yeah. 100%. And the boat starts to disappear into the water as he gets up to the dock. And this humanoid that clearly has MOM implants steps onto the dock.
Pause. Tell me what MOM implants are.
MOM, or MOM implants, or mind over matter implants, are experimental. They're meant to augment and increase the humanoid's brain and physically develop it into making basically a superhuman, a super soldier. The downside, which everybody knows, MOM implants makes you fucking insane. The longer they are, the more it affects your brain. It does give you some psychic abilities, which you do sense long before you even gets to the dock. You could probably, there's probably like a certain scent too that Ash would recognize with the MOM, because it's not naturally developed.
Right.
It's forced psionics.
Yeah, it would be more of like a tainted type of psionics. Yeah,
it'd be tangy. Let's say it's tangy.
Tangy.
if there was an orange scent for psionics, it's orange. It smells citrusy. Zach, why don't you describe your character?
So, Jack, a.k.a. the Jackal, is a very slim but also very muscular man who has a very dirty blonde mohawk, and on the sides of his mohawk are his MOM implants sticking out. He is very tanned, as if he were just out in the sun, because most of the time he's walking everywhere that he needs to go. And besides that, he's wearing some old... old style coalition armor.
So, are you wearing your armor right now? Or do you have it all in a pack?
I have it on, but just the chest plate.
Okay. And then do you have a lot of gear? Like, do you have a backpack and a duffel bag?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the side perks of a crazy, which is what I am, is the fact that they can actually lift and carry up to 2 times the normal amount as what a normal human would. And even with my ridiculous strength, that is quite a bit.
Yeah, the crazies are an awesome class. Unfortunately, like, they are superhuman. But when you pit them against, like, DBs like Grackletooth or even, like, Juicers or anyone in a power armor suit, they're still... nothing. But against a normal human, a crazy will eat you across the yard, no problem.
We make fun of juicers because of the fact that they need drugs while mind is all just put into my brain.
Mind over matter, baby.
Yeah.
There's some downsides to that. But we don't talk about
that. At least I'm not on drugs.
At least I'm not an addict.
One thing, too. I'm actually going to go ahead and give a roll real quick here for this. So, funny enough, I do recognize the scent. One of my enhanced senses is an enhanced smell, and I can recognize odors.
Okay.
And so I was going to joke that as I'm pulling up, I know somebody here. Somebody. Who is it? And I can actually try to remember who they are if I get a...
You can too, right?
I can recognize psychic sense.
So you can recognize his scent.
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll it.
So I don't recognize who the person is.
Okay.
But I do know that there's somebody that I know here.
If I could find the right dice, that'd be good. There we go. No, not today, Satan.
Okay, well, you don't recognize the scent, but when he gets to the dock, you recognize him. Once you get a visual of him, you're like, oh, great.
Ash just kind of stands on the dock and slowly squints in your direction.
How long has it been since I've seen Ash? Or at least...
It's probably only been a couple of days since... You probably had seen Ash. Okay. You'd only been away from the Tennessee Headhunters camp for about a day and a half now.
Yeah, and this is basically one of my first jobs since my graduation, right?
Right.
And that's why I was sent out, because he couldn't afford any of the higher level guys.
Right. Well, you were specialty. That's also why you started level 2, is you automatically get a level for going through the whole boot camp successfully and graduating.
Oh, right.
So this is your first official mission. However, you get paid the bigger bucks because you're a specialty power armor pilot and you're a Psystalker.
Yes.
So Jimmy was able to pay the extra big bucks. Unfortunately, he only got you instead of a small military contingent. However, power armors are basically tanks. So it's been a couple days. So you've seen each other. And for context, audience, both were trained in the Tennessee Headhunters camp outside of Merktown. The Jackal got his MOM implants outside of the encampment, though. Jackal is with the Tennessee Headhunters, though. He is a mercenary for the Tennessee Headhunters. He only has basic training, however. Unlike Ash, who has the specialty Power Armor Elite trainings. I don't remember the programs you went through.
I do not remember either.
Neither does Jack.
Of course Jack didn't remember.
Jack barely remembers Ash. Ash?
Ash?
No, that can't be it.
No. You wouldn't be named that. Who would name their kid that? I mean, it'd be pretty funny. Anyways, Ash. That's what I'm going to go with.
Ash is still just going to stand there and squint at you.
Jackal goes ahead and leans in real close to see if you're sleeping. Oh, is anybody in there?
I will throat punch you.
from over in the harbor too, you hear Adore goes, "I'm gonna charge you extra for the mooring," he says with the cigar in his mouth still.
"For the mooring? I just got here."
"Mooring. Your boat is underwater. I'm going to have to move that now. Unless you want to dive down there and move it out of the way."
"I mean, I can, but..."
Please do.
It showed up like this.
"I saw."
"It's not my fault. It's faulty equipment."
See, you came in with it, though. I'm still going to have to charge you, buddy."
"Ugh.
That's a damn shame. I know, right?"
Fine.
That's like my dad always said. That's, if you want to do something right, you gotta do it yourself.
Jack goes ahead and throws his stuff down. "Where's some rope?"
"You don't need rope. You're a big lad."
Jack goes ahead and turns around and dives into the water.
Now Ash is smiling, still just standing there.
I got my swimming.
Okay. So you swim down there. You roll me a d6.
D6?
Mm-hmm.
5.
So you see your boat. And it's not particularly deep. And you can see why he wants the boat moved. Because any other boat that comes here will hit your boat. So as you swim down, what is your plan to move the boat?
Well, the plan was to go ahead and get...
Leave it there?
The plan was to go ahead and find some way to drag it up onto the land.
Okay.
I don't know if that's possible. That's why I wanted the rope, but...
Okay, well, what are you doing?
I try and shove it and see if I can move it back.
Into, like, the deeper water?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it doesn't take... I'm not going to have you roll anything. It doesn't take much before you start pushing it, and the whole boat continues moving down. Like, straight down.
Straight down?
Roll me a perception check.
Oh, dear. 30-20.
You feel... you notice that there's like a current moving straight down too. And like you look past the boat and it's very dark. Like it's still morning, so the sun isn't all the way up yet. So it's very dark down here. You didn't have your helmet on, so you're only holding your breath. And I'm assuming you don't have any cybernetics that increase your vision.
I mean, I have perfect vision. It's one of my enhanced senses.
But can you see in the dark?
No.
Okay. So it's very hard to see down here. You can't see very far. you're basically swimming blind. You can feel the boat. You recognize like the feel of the wood and the railing and all that. But there are levels of darkness, right? Like when you're in a dark room with the lights off, your eyes will adjust and you can see shapes vaguely for the most part, along with some ambient light. Where the boat seems to be going into, there is absolute dark. And like it like stands out dark.
Complete absence of any light at all.
So two things. One, was there anybody else on this boat, or did I just let them drown?
Roll me a d20.
9. If you're telling me I'm about to have to rescue 9 people, there's going to be a lot of missing people.
There was somebody on the boat. That was a luck check.
Oh.
Yeah, there was other people on the boat.
Great. And does this ship have a flag? You said I was up on a mast.
No.
Okay. Well, that's a shame. They should have climbed up with me.
They're very likely dead already. They were in the process of dying. The boat was riddled with hose, probably from pirates, maybe even the Harun pirates that Ash was fighting earlier. So that's why it was sinking to begin with. So whoever was on the boat was in the process of dying. You might have just checked them off already.
Okay.
You're not even sure. It was kind of
I don't know ADHD. How to pilot it, so I just stood on top and waited for it to go. I swim back up to the top.
You don't investigate further? You just let the boat keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
The boat's gone. That's taken care of.
Okay. So you swim up to the top and you breach the water.
Yep. Go ahead and I climb up onto the deck where my stuff is. Okay, boat's gone.
Gone where?
I don't know. It's gone.
Should we be concerned?
I have no idea.
Would you be concerned? Okay. Dad! I need you to investigate the waters.
And careful, it's dark down there.
Thanks. So he calls over the unfortunate Leyline Walker who he starts casting spells and doing his thing. Unless you guys stick around.
Ash wants to see what's going on. He's not going to do anything at this point because nobody's paying him to do anything, but he still wants to see what's going on.
Okay. Eventually, Ted calls over one of the other deckhands, and he casts a spell. Looks like a giant air bubble around him, and he just kind of like cartwheel rolls into the water and sinks down.
Jack goes ahead and perches up at the edge of the dock watching this. That is so cool.
Ash, you do sense Ted casting another spell. You guys see him doing finger touch. And his eyes kind of flare green, and he peers straight down to where the boat sank. And
we can still see his bubble?
No, that guy went underwater. He dove down.
Oh, okay. He put somebody else in a bubble?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he put himself in a bubble.
Yeah. No, he called over another deckhand, put them in a bubble.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Said other people are better swimmers than Ted. Ted doesn't swim often.
Okay.
Eventually, that guy comes back up, and he goes, oh, yeah, there's a weird... like water current going down, and the crazy's right, the boat's gone. And Teddy goes, yes, there is a rift under the water. Adore, you may want to do something about that. It's beyond my capabilities, but it doesn't seem to be growing.
There's a actual rift right down there.
Yes. It wasn't there yesterday. Did you have volatile means on your boat?
I had some old soup.
How old?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
It matters.
All right.
I don't know. Stuff I just keep in the can after I cook it. Like 3-4 days. What?
He starts looking you over. Pokes you.
Aha!
How long ago? And he pokes one of your nodules for the MOMs.
Nah.
How long has this been here?
A while. I did, wait, 3, 5, 10? No, wait.
Where did you get them?
Don't worry about it. They're shiny. You want some?
sure. Tell me where you got them. I'll go get some. He takes it. He kind of moves your head by the module. interrupts your laugh, and you go. You hear Adore calling out to other deckhands, and it looks like he's going to be having people posted up to monitor the situation.
Ash, stop him.
Why would I do that?
We're friends.
Ash, you normally can sense the magical energies of rifts, too. This one's
a little
bit different.
I was going to say, because I'm a PPE user, couldn't I sense the presence of a rift?
It's not emitting like a normal rift does.
But this guy's saying, the Leyline Walker is saying it's a rift?
Yeah.
I'd
like to try something. Jack goes ahead and he's like, wait, I might have something for this. He goes ahead and digs around in one of his bags and pulls out a Geiger counter. and he's like, let's see. Puts it at the water, clicks the button.
Ted looks at you, now why do you have that?
Same reason I got this. Pulls out a gas mask and puts it on my face.
What were you doing? What was the soup made of?
What's your soup made of?
Soup.
There you go.
As soon as you pull it out and point it down, it goes. It's like the arms like almost breaking off.
Ash starts backing away.
Boys, it's radioactive.
The guy that was in the bubble, who's gotten out of the water by now, and he's like, what does radioactive mean? His eyes are going back and forth, everybody.
You might want to see a doctor, son.
First thing regenerate?
First thing that comes to mind is the Futurama episode when he gets lasered with a gamma gun. He goes, ah, my sperm! Then Bender does it again. He goes, I don't feel anything now. It's basically this guy. Anyways, he gets ushered away. Somebody's going to look him over.
Yeah, she's hot, all right. Okay, well, I'm going to go over this way. And goes ahead and packs up my stuff and puts away my Geiger counter and pick up my bags and start heading over.
Okay. Ted will look at you, Ash, and goes, is he with you?
No.
Oh, yeah, we're best friends.
Ash will just shake his head, not saying anything.
Really quickly, what's funny about this is I can hear up to 300 feet away.
Yeah, so you're walking away and you're just calling over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. I hear everything in this room.
You're outside. You're on a dock.
Oh.
So you hear everything out in the dock.
Okay.
Not quite in the room yet. So you do know who he is.
Yes, we trained together. Well, not together, but he was in the same... ish program.
I see. Do you know where he got the implants?
No. Though he had those before he came to Tennessee Headhunters.
Interesting. You may want to keep an eye on your friend. Associate. He holds his hands up defensively.
Friend!
As you can see, Ash beginning to say, not friend.
And then Ted continues monitoring the waters. He goes through doing various finger-tutting and speaking words that you wouldn't recognize.
I need to take a break. I need to go blow my nose.
Okay, you go do that.
Okay.
Why not?
Don't tell me how I live my life.
In the back of your mind.
Click.
Oh, we haven't stopped recording.
Oh.
The phrase elsewhere pops in your head. Every time someone mentions, where did you get your MOM implants? Where did you come from? Where's home? Elsewhere. Like somebody saying it with a slur comes to mind. You're intelligent enough to pick that up, but you just assume it's kind of just like a tick, a normal response you have ingrained in yourself. Like, kind of like how like you or I go, hello, when saying hi to somebody or getting somebody's attention. it just you just assume that you've always since childhood probably.
There's a episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually where Coulson goes ahead and doesn't realize that he was killed, and they ask him how was Fiji, because that's what he was told he went to recover, and he always responded with, "It's a wonderful place you have to visit sometime." And eventually, like,
yeah, you're straight Manchurian candidate right now. Elsewhere comes to mind, but you do get defensive as you did. Never happens.
Yeah.
But that does come to mind. I assume, because you're super intelligent, that you are in your own head all the time. However, being MOM and all that, the way they describe it in the book, you're kind of like an advanced ADHD. Your brain is all over the fucking place.
Oh, yeah.
Is the chest piece of your armor decaled in any way?
Oh, yeah.
Of a jackal?
Oh, yeah.
A little floating tick body jackal with tiny hands?
But very crudely drawn, like if Sid the Sloth drew it.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm assuming he did it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, it's good. So, the morning comes and goes, and everyone gets ready to go. Jimmy is prepared to leave. Everyone's had breakfast. Kimmel's down. He's dressed in what's left of his armor, and his gear's packed. He's sobering up as much as he could, drinking coffee, and Jimmy's crew, what's left of them, are loaded up, and everyone's ready to go.
Okay. Hop on board.
And then Jackal goes ahead and comes up and just tosses his bags up onto the boat as well.
It would be onto the truck. So Jimmy's boat is a ferry. Okay. And so he's towing this pre-riffs, basically a four-banger, that's towing a trailer.
Oh, okay. So we're back on land travel now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then Ash will suit up in the power armor then.
Okay. There's another day's travel from here to get to Orisol, the city you're going to.
When you get in your power armor, Jack goes ahead and eyeballs you. Stares very wide-eyed. I hate that thing. Nah.
What?
Goes ahead and throws stuff up into the truck.
Jackal!
What?
What are you doing?
Hitching a ride? Coming along? With my buddy?
Not your buddy.
Okay, best friend for life. Yes, I know.
No. No.
Ash has friends?
No.
Kimmel asks you.
Yeah, we've been best friends.
Oh my god.
I thought I was his best friend, but I didn't know he had any friends.
Who are you?
He like looks up and down, like takes a step back, says, "My name's Kimmel."
Ha, Kimmel.
Hi.
You're gonna be my friend too.
Hooray.
Oh, God. What's the main guy's name who hired me?
Jimmy.
Did you call for an extra recruit from the headhunters?
No. I thought he was with you. He said he was with you. He was telling me that earlier.
Oh, Jimmy.
I'm here now.
I thought it was a part of the contingent that the Tennessee headhunters were giving me for payment.
No.
Well, does he work for free?
Sure.
Perfect.
There you go. All right, well.
Do I get to keep what I kill?
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay, stay in the back of the truck, though. I'm not going to have a crazy and ride in my cabin with me.
All right, fine.
So Kimmel will hop into the cab with Jimmy. The jackal will hop in the back of the truck.
Goes ahead and pulls out some tinted goggles out of my back pocket. Snaps them on to my face and looks out to the front of the truck.
Witness me! Slowly driving down the dirt road.
Ash will just shake his big power armor head at this point and start making his ascent into the air.
And you're doing I can't think of the words.
Aerial patrol?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll link up comms with Jimmy. Okay. Like we did before.
And Kimmel, too. Kimmel has a headset also.
Okay.
You guys all match frequencies. No one talks to... You're not included in
no,
that.
No. Nope. You
Who's
don't
in the back of me?
No one. Oh. So before, his crew did ride in the back of the truck, too, and some in the trailer. Everyone's in the trailer. No one's going to ride in the back of the truck with a crazy.
And I told
regardless how nice you are.
They've heard the stories.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear Kimbo talking, I always speak up, whether they can hear me or not.
Okay.
Because I can hear him inside the truck, I'm assuming, so...
Oh, yeah, with your...
Yeah, with your hearing.
With your augmented hearing, yeah. You can definitely hear them, even as you're driving. They can't hear you.
No.
They just hear you screaming about something.
That's fine. I'm talking to myself up there. That's completely understandable.
Ash, why don't you roll me a D6?
Alrighty, then. A one,
and a two, and a... So... After a day's travel, a couple of hours going down this road, it's getting on towards evening, and you see it before they do. The city of Orisol is on the horizon. You guys will get there just as the sun's starting to set.
Okay. What does Ash know about Orisol?
Orisol is a city-state kingdom. It's fairly large. They're kind of neutral with who's allowed to go in and out. There's not... a lot of technology, per se. It's a much poorer city than, say, Merktown.
So is it more like settlers type of...
Yeah. There is one ruler. There's 100 rumors about the ruler of the city-state of Orisol. They do try to, like, make their own currency. He's trying to, like, forge his own empire, as everybody does in Rifts when you're in North America trying to make your own city-state. There's rumors that he's, like, a shapeshifter or a dragon. There's rumors that he's a merciless cybernetic augmentation or a mage caster. Nobody spends a lot of time with him. He's kind of a hermit. So nobody really knows.
What does he style himself? King, emperor, magistrate?
Magistrate.
Okay.
Outside of the city, your sensors also pick this up, but you have really good vision too, don't you?
Vision. Well, I mean, I have the sensors from the power armor itself.
Right.
The Flying Titan power armor.
Right. With your armor, you will clock a bunch of other humanoids. Your armor tracks them as various DBs and humans, and like some pre-rift vehicles, and you can see it with the sensors. You like magnify, and you see outside of the city. It looks like a circus. You've heard of these before. They're traveling freak shows.
Oh, okay.
How far out is this?
Via the sensors on Ash's power armor, probably like 2 miles.
So I can see it as well.
Barely, yeah.
There might be some physical obstructions in your way, being down on the ground.
Right.
Mm. Okay.
Ash can see it long before you guys. So with Ash being up in the air, you can probably see about like 10 miles away.
Okay.
And so with the curvature of the Earth, you're not going to see it until you're a lot closer. This isn't a flat world.
What? Just lost half of the viewers.
Jackal might be a flat earther. You never know.
No.
You're not a flat earther?
No.
No.
The earth were flat. All of us crazies would have ran off the edge already.
Yeah, I don't see anything particular about my physical senses other than my ability to sense psychic and magic energy and supernatural beings.
Okay, that's fine. Can you sense that stuff, like, miles away?
Let's see. I can sense a ley line or a nexus point from up to 10 miles away. Sensitivity to psychic or magic practitioner not using his powers is 50 feet plus 20 feet per each additional level of experience. So 70 feet for somebody, a practitioner, not actively using their powers. Sensitivity to psionic and magic powers being used is 600 feet plus 100 feet per level of experience. So 800 feet for active use.
Yeah.
When tracking a psychic scent, I roll a percentile die every 1,000 feet to see if I'm still on the trail. For supernatural beings, if they're not using their powers, it's 50 feet per level of experience. So 100 feet for a supernatural being. Sensitivity to powerful supernatural beings or psionic powers being expended through spell weaving or psi attacks is 1,000 feet plus 100 feet per additional level of experience. So 1,100 feet for active use or a powerful being.
Okay. You see there's a circus, you see Orisol. You just let the guys know and continue anyway?
Was this a planned stop on our route?
That is the end goal.
Oh, that's the end goal?
That's where Jimmy's going, is the city-state of Orisol.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, let him know how far that it's been sighted and how far we have to get there.
Okay.
And be watching the road that leads up to it.
Okay.
That we're on.
All right. Do you mention the freak show or no?
I mean, they're a normal occurrence, right?
Yeah, they're found every now and then.
No, not going to mention it.
Okay. As you guys continue on and you hear that you're getting close to the city, when you do get within sight, you do see the city. And there are a bunch of people and, like, circus tents propped up outside of the city.
So I see the circus tents?
Yes.
I immediately start banging on the top of the truck. Guys! Guys! Hey! I'm trying to poke my head around to the window.
Yes? Yes, what is it? What?
Are they still driving?
Yeah, Jimmy's driving. He's a quick flex alien, so he's kind of erratic. And when you start doing that, it's scaring him. It's like, are we in danger? What is happening?
I hold up a fistful of tickets. I have tickets!
Tickets for what?
Let's go to the circus!
What? Circus?
I have enough for everybody!
I don't know what you mean. Please sit back down.
Tents! Onward! I say as I hold on to the edge of the truck.
Kimmel will say over the radio to you, Ash. Jack? The Jackal? Jack, what do you like to be called?
Jack!
Okay, so, and you heard that over the mic. Jack says there's a circus.
Yeah, I see it.
He apparently has tickets for it.
I don't care.
Ash, if you can hear me,
you can
I have tickets!
The turn the comm off for a minute.
Do you turn it back on?
In like maybe 30 to 60 seconds, yes.
Okay. When you turn it back on, there's no other sound. Do you look back down the truck?
Yeah.
Okay. You see him flailing about, trying to flag you down, and Kimmel's leaning out the window looking at you like, hey.
Is he just saying hi, or is there a problem?
He doesn't know why you turned off your comm. He was talking to you. It's just Jack was really, really loud.
Okay, I'll turn my comm. Well, I already turned my comm back on. I'll say, what do you need, Kimmel?
Are you all right?
I'm fine. I did not want the jackal in my ear.
Oh, yeah. He's a little obnoxious. Anyways, I wouldn't mind going to the carnival. Do you want to check it out after we finish this job?
You too.
Woo!
That comes through like tinnitus, like ear-piercing. Kimmel turns off the mic after that. You see him go back into the truck.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy and Kimmel roll the windows up.
It's fine.
So you guys get to the city state, and do you land with the truck then?
Yeah.
This is effectively the end of your job.
Yeah.
So you land, and Jimmy goes, it was a pleasure. Thank you for your support and protection.
I'll get out of the power armor to shake his hand.
And he'll shake his hand. Money well spent.
Thank you.
I don't remember. Were you getting paid once you got back to Tennessee Headhunters? You hadn't gotten paid for the job yet, right?
I think it was half and half.
Okay.
Half up front, half at the completion of job.
Okay. Jimmy will he'll have you meet him back at this house because he's going to keep all of those credits on him.
Okay. Oh, he has a house here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, you guys will ride into town. You see the city-state. There is very clearly a poor section and then a well-to-do section. The poor section is a lot of, like, used... whatever was available. Seems like there is stuff that was, like, pre-war that was cobbled together for some buildings. Some are just made of simple wood. Very ramshackle.
Pieces and parts and bits.
Yeah, kind of like the burbs outside of Chi-Town. You go farther in, though, and Jimmy does well for himself selling pre-rifts items. So I was playing Fallout, I think, in pre-war. Pre-Cataclysm. So you eventually get to his house, though. It's a little one-story house. It's clear he probably doesn't spend a lot of time here. He has to go out to make his money, so he's usually away from home. But it's a staging place where he can sleep.
Am I getting a lot of looks walking through town in my power armor?
You are, but you weren't asked to get out of your armor. You are being watched, though.
Was I ever hailed as I approached their airspace?
No.
Okay, so they're clearly not organized or militant enough to be watching their own airspace.
No.
Okay.
You didn't immediately start attacking them, so... you do sense all of the above, though, for psychic. Magic and sonics. Okay. There's supernatural DBs. There's a variety of critters here.
Any very high-powered magic or psychic users that I can sense?
Yes.
Hmm.
It was at the stretch of your 1,000-foot mark, though, somebody using something.
Oh, somebody actively casting or using psionics?
Magic.
Magic, okay.
But going through the burbs and into the rich area, you don't sense anybody within 50 feet of you.
Okay. I'll,
Not of the high tier. Okay. You do periodically sense, it's probably DBs and other critters that are born with it naturally, innately.
Right.
Just from what you're gathering.
It's kind of a background noise type of thing in a city like this. And with so many DBs and whatnot, it would just be background noise for me. Kind of stick it in the back of my mind, that sense that I got of the high-powered magic user, so that I can go investigate.
Okay, so you do have a secondary job when you got here. Remember that, too. So when you're done dropping off Jimmy, there were three people that still owed money to Tennessee Headhunters.
Oh, right.
So you were to collect before you came back.
Playing the debt collector. Okay.
Because in a power armor, it'll take you about an hour to get back to the Tennessee Headhunters from here. The only reason why this took so long was because Jimmy doesn't have the means to fly at Mach speeds.
Yeah, he's hauling old tech.
Right.
Okay. How much am I getting from him?
First off, do you get out of your power armor and walk the streets? Or do you stay in your power armor?
I stay in my power armor.
Okay.
There's nowhere safe for me to leave it here that I trust. So I'm just clonking down the street in my power armor.
I would have to look at our old notes to see how much you got.
Okay. Well, you can get back to me on that later.
Yeah, I'll get back to you. But you get back to the house, and Jimmy goes in, and it's clear he has numerous electronic locks that are biometric scanned to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he does, like, the whole handprint and says some phrase, and he's like, please look away.
Jimmy, I could manufacture those locks.
Yes. Please look away. Or you're not getting payment.
So sensitive. Turn around.
Thank you. And he holds up this sheet. He's like, look at the crazy. He's like, holds up this like kind of like cloak over his head in his hand and like tries to like protect himself.
You're not paying me.
Please go away.
I can smell your fear.
Your friend is bothering.
Then I walk away. Actually, does he have other things around? Like, the transportation was of goods, right?
So his truck and his trailer and his crew are all being maintained by them. They're driven off somewhere else. He probably has, like, a warehouse or something in town. Okay. But he wasn't carrying anything. So he had stuff, and then he went to Merktown and sold it, among other stops he made.
Okay.
So he was empty. He was coming back.
I was just going to start appraising stuff around his house.
Oh, no, he doesn't let you in.
Oh, okay.
This is the front door.
Okay, fine. You want to keep me outside your front door, then by all means.
So you hear various beeps and whistles and whirls, and the door eventually opens, and he's like, I'll be right back. And he goes in, and he turns around and closes the door as you're, like, obviously, like, sticking your head into the...
Shuts it in face.
Yeah. He comes back and gives you the rest of the payment, Ash, and he says, it was great working with you, and...
Great to meet you.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you. Closes the door again.
Okay.
And Kimmel's there, obviously, yeah, just kind of just hanging out. He goes, sweet. Pay time. Do you, is this where we...
I made some sort of deal with Kimmel, didn't I?
Yeah, you were giving him part of that payment.
I don't remember what we agreed on.
I don't think you're split. I think you, like fist shaking, like you're going to kill him and offer to give him, like, a portion of it. I have to go look back at my notes. Again, that's we'll cover that.
Yeah, I think I maybe offered him, like, a daily salary or something like that.
It was a portion of this job.
It was a portion of the job?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably, like, 10% or something.
Yeah. It was something low. It was ladder death. And he had to walk if he survived. So, he's like, yeah. Payment?
Sure. I'll hand him his portion of the payment. And since we're in a city now, I'll basically tell him, like, hey, you're in a place where you could potentially make your own way. So if you want to part ways, then let's part now. But if you want to stick with me and keep making money, I'm open to that too.
Well, I was going to ask if you had more work. I like working in teams. So, and you are a stable team member that doesn't, you know, flay people and are rude. So,
I agree.
I don't know about him. He needs a question. Is he going to stick around?
Only around you, buddy.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it seems like he's going to stick around, unfortunately.
Will he die on his own?
Probably.
Well, I'll keep working with the guys then.
Jack is smiling.
That's... Kimmel's, he looks at you and, like, smiles, and he looks back to Ash, and he's like, it's kind of unsettling. At least we have somebody for frontline. That's fun.
Go, Jackal!
Yeah, Jackal, go! Jackal, I choose you!
Frontline, backline, middle line, outside line.
What are lines, really? At the end of the day, we're all lines and various squiggles. Life's tapestry.
You know, I honestly thought about picking philosophy as a skill. Because I thought that would be so funny.
You could always pick it up.
Yeah.
Again.
You can always be trained at some point in time to somebody who's actually willing to train you in said things. Or if you can find some previous books, that's probably the only way you're going to be trained is teaching yourself.
Or find some ascetic and follow them around as they spout quotes.
Maybe it'll just be one of the voices in my head.
You do have MOM implants. I will allow... do you have data port jacks?
As far as I know, yeah.
Well, it's not as far as you know. It is a specific cybernetic.
Oh, then no. I don't have any cybernetics besides MOM.
So if you do want to get that, I will allow you to upload skills that are pre-riffs. Basically just jacking in like you would the Matrix.
Okay.
Think of it that way.
Like download a skill?
Yeah, but it will have to be pre-riffs. Nothing like that is made these days. So you'd have to, it would be like something experimental. So if you guys found yourselves in some like pre-riffs bunker or a scientist's minivan or, you know, some like Ant-Man pseudoscience person, you'll be able to punch in like that, but you need that cybernetic first.
Okay. Find somebody to install it as well.
Yeah, people have no problem installing things into a crazy, as long as the crazy pays it up front.
Right.
And with the crazy, they want the full payment up front. You might die on the operating table for all they know. Or you might wig out and try to kill them, and they have to leave and rebuild their entire shop. So it's very likely you'd have to go to a chop shop anyways. Because actual standardized medicine places, like legitimate places that aren't sketchy, will not take you. MOM implants are frowned upon. Like, globally, they're frowned upon.
They're so, too unpredictable, it sounds like.
They are, and they're, you know, more or less inhumane. That's not a good thing. And it's usually only bad people that experiment on MOM implants, and they experiment on people that aren't exactly willing. Anyways, Kimmel asks you what your further job is, and your job is collecting debts, and there are three. One is a Neurodorf, one's a Posluznik, hard to pronounce that, and the third is a human.
How big are these debts that I'm collecting?
They vary. So the Neurodorf owes 20,000 credits, the Posluznik owes 40,000, and the human, he owes... he owes an amount. Apparently I forgot to figure that out. He owes 80,000. He owes
Holy
a bit.
Holy bread.
What did the human do?
What did he pay for?
We will find that out when we come back, as we will end the episode here.
Thank you for staying tuned and listening to episode 4 of Mercs and Monsters. We appreciate every one of you for sticking around to the end of the episode. And please, follow us on your various social medias, rate us, review us, and stay tuned for the next epi coming out February 23rd. Players tonight were Zachary Spangler playing Jack, Nicole who played Ash, and our story weaver running the show was Tony Spangler. Take care and stay creative.